Welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. My name is Craig Crash Collins, joined as always by Brandon Scott, otherwise known as B Scott. We got a lot of hoops to talk about tonight. The NBA season is upon us. We're going to be talking about some Pacers, as well as give you a preview of everything around the NBA, who we think is going to be tops in the East, who we think is going to be tops in the West, who is going to be hosting Larry O'Brien Trophy at the end of the season. It's going to be a lot of fun to get into. But before we do, B Scott, you know, normally we sit here and we talk about each other's weeks and weekends and all that stuff, but I know yours is good, not only because the Colts get the win, because, you know, they like to win when we can't talk about them the previous or the next
week. And the Red Sox got a big win.
Right. Red Sox got a big win. Your boy bet the over, and Kike Hernandez hit a home run to make it the over in the game that they lost, game one. And then they had that crazy two grand slam game the next night. But also, because B Scott, you're Purdue Boilers. While I do hold it against them that they may have just almost assuredly clinched the two SEC teams will get in, maybe. We're not sure yet.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Let's be honest. Iowa was never going to make the playoff because they have the worst offense in the Big Ten.
Which I didn't realize that.
I didn't really realize that either until I started watching the game and they put up those stats. I was like, Oh no. Their defense is the only thing that scores. Okay. Right.
All right. Well, yeah, because they had put up like 52 against Maryland, 31 against IU.
Yeah, but when you pick off Maryland's quarterback 50 or five times,
yeah,
and you have a couple pick sixes, I mean, right, you're going to put up 52.
True.
But yeah, I mean, it was okay. I'll say this. I was shocked. I did not think Purdue was truly a 2-point underdog or a two possession underdog. They were, you know, 14 points, I think, was the spread. I did not see that happening just because how well Purdue plays Iowa no matter what. I was in the band of Purdue will outgain Iowa, but Iowa will win the turnover battle and Iowa will subsequently win the game and it will be a close one. I did not expect Purdue to go into Iowa City and just curb stomp Iowa. I did not expect that one single bit. And I mean, and then of course the question started, like, do you think Purdue could be ranked? It's like, well, the AP poll did set the precedent the week before, you know, unranked Texas A&M beat number two Alabama, Alabama was number one.
Yeah, no, Alabama. No, yeah, you're right. It was one.
Alabama
and two.
Was
yeah,
number
yeah,
one. Yeah. And then, you know, they ranked Texas A&M, but everybody was like, yeah, but Texas A&M was preseason number 10. Yeah, Purdue will probably receive votes. And then to see that Purdue was actually ranked 25th, that's the first time Purdue's been ranked since 2007, my sophomore year at Purdue. And then subsequently, that following week, we hosted number four Ohio State on a Saturday night and got absolutely shellacked. It was ugly. Like, we didn't score a touchdown until late in the fourth quarter when we put in our backup quarter. We benched Curtis Painter and put in backup quarterback Joey Elliott, and he marched down the field and scored a touchdown late to actually prevent the shutout. So that was the very last time Purdue had been ranked, was back in October of 2007.
They weren't ranked when they beat Ohio State the last time?
No, because when they beat Ohio State last time, it put them at 500. They ended up becoming 3-3 at that point. They started the season like 0-2 or something like that season, because they lost that first game against Nevada, I believe it. Oh, or no, it was Northwestern. We lost to Northwestern that first game of the season. And yeah, it was a rough start to that season. But they turned things around by beating Boston College. And I believe they also beat, yeah, it was Boston College, and then they beat Ohio State to help get them back to 500.
I gotcha.
So they weren't going to be ranked then. No way. No. I think they were receiving votes on the very back end, but no. But I mean, technically, this Purdue should be sitting at 5-1 right now. But when you look at the rest of Purdue's schedule, you go 9-3 is not out of the realm of possibility. And right now, Purdue sits atop the. Tied atop the Big Ten West standings with Minnesota and Iowa. If some things shake out right, Purdue could very easily make the Big Ten championship game this year.
Yeah, which pretty incredible. It's funny too, because they're number 25 right now, and then they are actually now they're underdogs against Wisconsin, who
eight
is not
point underdog.
Are
eight
you sure?
Point 8 point dog. Yeah.
Where is that? When I did ESPN, because of course, you know, shout out Craig Crash Wheel of Misery. That's you know, 6-1 against the spread or whatever it is.
It may have changed, because I know yesterday it was at minus.
Okay. Three. Because today I thought it was like 3.5.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah, everybody figured it would change over time, but yeah, they're an underdog as the ranked team at home.
Right. Well, there's several matchups this week that are like that, though.
Purdue hasn't beaten Wisconsin at Ross-Ade Stadium since 1997. Joe Tiller's first season as head coach at Purdue.
Yeah, and that'll do it. I was gonna say that's happening a lot this week, though, because I remember looking through it and I was like, Iowa State. Like picked to beat Oklahoma State, and like UCLA was picked to beat Oregon, like, which that one's really close. It's like +2 for Oregon, but or for UCLA, but it was really weird that, you know, that's there's a lot of matchups like that this week. But yeah, I mean, Purdue gets the win, and I mean, heck, like you said, not out of the realm of possibility they could be, you know, playing. There could be a rematch against Ohio State or even Penn State. We'll see what they can do. But that, you know, hopefully that means that, you know, Iowa losing doesn't mean that pretty much clinches that there might be two SEC teams. I'm just afraid that somebody's going to be left out. You know,
it's
once
gonna be Cincinnati that gets left out in the end.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, but
hey, you know what? You know, the Purdue win puts B. Scott in good spirits. And what else is going to put him in good spirits is we're going to talk some Indiana Pacers, or maybe it won't put you in good spirits, B. Scott, because we're going to get into our NBA preview. We're going to first talk, of course, about the Indiana Pacers, you know, the hometown team for B. Scott and I. Last season, the Pacers finished 34-38. They were ninth in the East. They did play in the play-in tournament, you know, much to B. Scott and I's dismay. We did not want them to be in the play-in tournament. They did defeat the Hornets to advance to the next stage of knockout rounds. Then they lost to the Wizards to be eliminated from postseason contention. Their offseason was relatively busy. They fired Nate Bjorkgren after one season, all that drama and turmoil there. They hire Rick Carlisle, which this is his second stint with the Indiana Pacers. He coached the Pacers from 2003 to 2007. His record was 181-147. That's a 55% win percentage. He made the playoffs 3 of 4 seasons as 2 conference semifinals appearances, and he made the East Finals in his first season. As far as transactions go, they signed TJ McConnell to a 4-year, $33.6 million contract. They also today extended Malcolm Brogdon to 4 years, so that's good to note as well.
I wonder if there's something working in the background on that one, though.
What do you mean?
Because he's been in a lot of trade talks for Ben Simmons, and by extending him, it kind of makes his extension really matches up very nicely with Ben Simmons.
So what is our feeling on, let's just start there. What's our feeling on Ben Simmons? Because I was just gonna say, I don't really like, I mean, might he be a, you know, a catalyst for the Pacers? Like, maybe he'll be a good acquisition for the Pacers to have. But just, you know, if you're trying to get somebody who's going to take you to the next level, I mean, what has Ben Simmons done to show that he can, you know, take, you know, a team to the next level? Like, it's not like the Sixers are, you know, a team from a big market that, you know, Simmons just couldn't get it done in a big market, or that he needed a lot of talent to, you know, around him to make this, you know, it's not like the Sixers are another or are a big market team and he was like a small fish in a big pond. It was, you know, he was part of a rebuild. He, you know, the Sixers are very similar to the Pacers in terms of not having, you know, they have good players, but they're all homegrown. Nobody, you know, teamed up with them to you know, try to take them to the next level. Didn't they have Jimmy Butler 1 year? Didn't they trade for him at some point?
Yeah, but I'm not surprised that didn't work out.
Right. So And plus, like, isn't that the whole drama around Ben Simmons right now is that he's not willing to address his glaring issues surrounding his game right now? So, like, I just don't see that as being it. It reminds me a lot of when, you know, the Pacers were rumored to be in the running to get Kyrie Irving. Like, on paper, like, sure, great, give us Kyrie, give us Ben Simmons. But they seem like they're more trouble, as far as what they can be, you know, distraction wise and what they can be in the locker room than they are actually going to be worthwhile acquisitions for the club that'll translate on the court.
Yeah. You know, so there's been a lot of like talk of who could be trade in a trade package for Ben Simmons. And look, I think Ben Simmons could be good for the Pacers as long as the right pieces are sent for him. Like, I'll send draft picks and everything. Malcolm Brogdon, I would give up Malcolm Brogdon for Ben Simmons because point guard, I feel like Ben Simmons is a much better. I mean, you're trading up in defense, even though Brogdon's a really good defender. Brogdon is a good shooter. He's not a lights out shooter or anything. I think if the right package was built, Ben Simmons could be a real catalyst for the Pacers. Because if you think about it, the 76ers don't have shooters. They don't have shooters. I mean, it's Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Nobody's threatening to hit a three-pointer in that group. Whereas the Pacers, they do have some shooters, especially, I mean, we're now seeing Chris Duarte looks like a hit, like a big hit for the Pacers. Unfortunately, I have seen his name popped up by Bleacher Report as an idea for a package for Ben Simmons. They would trade Brogdon, TJ Warren, and Chris Duarte for Ben Simmons and some other end of bench dweller. That's Bleacher Report, though.
They're really, I was gonna say that's acquiring
Ben Simmons, but I'm not putting. Maybe I'll put TJ Warren in just because he's so injury prone recently. But I'm not putting Chris Duarte in. I'm not sending them this young potential future Klay Thompson at all. No way. So if you're able to keep Chris Duarte and then have Ben Simmons start at point for you, you have a really sizable lineup, really good defensive lineup. And then you have I'd put Jeremy Lamb in maybe and keep TJ Warren or whatever. You do have shooters still with the Pacers, it was Malcolm Brogdon, Caris LeVert, and Chris Duarte. I'm like, no, that's like everybody. That's everybody. I'm not doing that for one guy that can't hit free throws even. But I don't know. Maybe Ben Simmons could find his stardom again by a change of scenery. I mean, I think in Philadelphia, yeah, it is a bigger market. It's not as big as Indiana. They're a little bit more rabid of a fan base in Philadelphia we're more sensical when it comes to basketball here. I feel like, he would come here. I think he could really find his footing here in Indiana because we understand basketball. We understand
grow basketball here,
and not everybody is going to be a Steph Curry, and that's okay. We as fans, we understand that, and I feel like that could benefit him a little bit, whereas in Philadelphia, look, the process was coming. They were like, the process, we've been living through the process for so long now, and that's all we've heard about is the process, and it hasn't paid off yet. We're ready for it to pay off. Whereas the Pacers are like, we just want to be relevant. That might be a good thing for Ben Simmons, where the pressure's not so high on him. He can play just a little bit looser.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. And I mean,
but I'm not giving up like half of our starting lineup and then our biggest rookie acquisition for him either. Not doing it.
It just makes me leery whenever a guy is having like drama with his club. And I mean, we'll never, we don't, I guess, know the full story. You have Ben Simmons has his story and the Sixers have their story, and we'll never know like who's right and wrong. But at the same time, whenever there's like locker room drama and trades and all that stuff, like that just really, makes you a little leery, just because, I mean, the Pacers just had their own like mini dose of that with Nate Bjorkgren. So it's like, Do we want to bring in someone who's going to be that kind of distraction, or who could potentially be that kind of distraction when the Pacers are trying to get their ship back pointed in the right direction after being in a situation where a couple of years ago, I mean, you know, when we did our NBA preview a couple of years ago, we were like, oh, the Pacers are a top four team in the East. Whereas right now, like they're, you know, in that fringe playoff group. So like, I'm just a little hesitant to do that, but yeah, I mean, sure, for the right price, there's a lot of potential and upside there. It just always makes me a little leery when there's that locker room stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Yeah. But
so it's one of those that it's probably not going to happen, but it does make you scratch your head when you see this extension for Malcolm Brogdon and how it kind of really pairs up a little nicely with that. So it's something to keep an eye on for sure.
For sure. And then the Pacers also acquired Isaiah Jackson from the Lakers. That was during the draft.
Love it.
They drafted Chris Duarte out of Oregon. We mentioned that. Notable departures. The Pacers lose Cassius Stanley, Edmund Sumner. Aaron Holiday goes to the Wizards. Doug McDermott to the Spurs. So some pieces that I
technically we traded Aaron Holiday and we ended up getting Isaiah Jackson.
Right, right. So those are the guys that are no longer there. So really, I mean, obviously those players were good when they were here, but, you know, not going to be tremendously missed.
The biggest piece that you lost from that is probably Doug McDermott, just because of his 3-and-D style coming off the bench. And he's pretty athletic.
Right.
He's a secret closeted athlete. But that's probably the biggest loss right there out of the rest of them. Cassius Stanley, we all thought he had some promise, but I guess the front office didn't. Edmund Sumner is a little bit of a head scratcher. He gets injured and then they trade him to basically dump salary. That one's a bummer. That's a bummer because he was a good contributor, but I still think Doug McDermott's the biggest loss.
Yeah. And then so now turning ahead to the 2021 season, which gets underway on Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Hornets. The main thing going into this season and the main thing you'll hear me talk about here and probably you as well, B. Scott, is the injuries. Right now, Brogdon is day to day, as is Jeremy Lamb. Caris LeVert is expected to miss a little bit of time at the beginning of the year. To start off the season, then TJ Warren still has his ongoing, injury with his foot. No timetable to return for TJ Warren. Now, like I said, they get going on Wednesday against the Hornets. They will open at home Saturday at 7 against the Miami Heat. So, going into this season, I mean, you know, this the Pacers a couple of years ago, you know, with Oladipo and Sabonis, we were thinking, hey, you know, what are they, you know, a contender to get to the East, you know, semifinals, the East finals, what could they potentially do? And now, you know, after years of first round exits and last year making the play-in tournament, I think the biggest kind of question for the Indiana Pacers is, you know, what can they do with Rick Carlisle? What can they do this season? Can we expect them to be back in the playoffs? Can we expect them to maybe even win a series, or are they going to miss the whole thing? And are we going to be sitting here next year? Like, hey, what do they do? How do we tear this down? Do we tear it down? Do we do a little bit of a rebuild? What do we do? So we're going to go into hot or cold. That's where, you know, I'll say a take and B Scott and I will decide whether or not that take is a hot one or a cold one. And let's start right here. The Pacers will finish above 500 this season. I do think that this is a hot take, because that's step number one. The Pacers finished under 500 last year, did not look good, you know, through. I mean, they found their stride in certain points this season, but for the most part were, you know, a mess. NBA.com predicts that the Pacers will be 41-41. And so I kind of looked into what the Mavericks were the last five seasons under Carlisle, because in the original draft of our outline, I was going to pose the question whether or not Carlisle will be here in 5 years, because we've seen all this kind of instability with the coaching position. I mean, Vogel was here for 5 years, McMillan was here for four. But then of course the whole mess with Bjorkgren and all that kind of stuff. We've seen McMillan now have success with the Hawks. So like the question is, what do we want to see out of Rick Carlisle? Cause looking back, I was like, you know what? What has he had? Because with the Mavericks, he had Luka, and with the Mavericks, he had Dirk. during that finals run, you know, and during his Pacers years, he had Jermaine O'Neal and he had Reggie Miller, obviously. So, and that's when he had the most success is when he had
Reggie. Had Reggie for two seasons.
Yeah. Two of the four. So yeah. He had Reggie for two seasons. He had Dirk for a while with the Mavericks. He had Luka. You know,
JJ Barea.
There's no player right now in the Pacers besides maybe Sabonis that I could see maybe being included in that conversation. So what can we really expect out of Carlisle? Well, his last five seasons with the Mavericks, he missed the playoffs three times. He did make the playoffs the last two seasons. The Pacers and Mavericks have both relatively young rosters, average age 27. So, you know, Rick Carlisle does have experience with this kind of, you know, youthful roster that the Pacers have this season. Cause I had thought before, I was like, oh wait, did he only win with veterans? Yeah. That's when his main success has come, but he's also had seen some success with younger rosters as well. And so overall though, you know, I think 41-41 is a good baseline right at 500. I do think they're going to be a little bit above that though, just because Carlisle is a better coach than Bjorkgren. The odds are that Warren and LeVert will return with a bulk of the schedule in front of them. And the Eastern Conference is still the weaker of the two conferences. So just kind of by those odds, do I think they're going to be, you know, 45 and whatever? Do I think they're going to be in that 45-50 win bracket? Absolutely not. But I do think that just they're in a better spot than they were last year, just from a coaching standpoint and just from a roster standpoint. It's kind of the way I felt about Oladipo going into last season, because we're like, hey, well, Oladipo is going to miss some time at the start of the year, but you're going to have the bulk of the season with him actually active. So I think it's a hot take. The Pacers will be above 500 this season.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a hot take. You did say, though, that the East is still the weaker. I mean, yeah, it's still weak, but it did get better. I mean, look at the Chicago Bulls. They're not going to be a slouch by any stretch of the imagination. I do believe the Pistons did take a step back. Cleveland's taking another step back. So that it does balance itself out a little bit for the Pacers division. But the Bulls did get better. I don't believe – yeah, Washington's not going to be nearly as good as they were. I mean, they lost everybody.
Right.
The Knicks are a toss-up. Who knows how that'll be? I think Atlanta is going to be even better. The Nets, I'm still out on. I think they're going to be good, but I don't, you know, who knows there. But, yeah, the Pacers have a legitimate shot of being being 500 or above 500. It just depends on health. Like, how is TJ Warren ever going to come back? Caris LeVert, how is he going to be? There's just too many questions about health. And then obviously all the talk of potential trades. I mean, what is this roster even going to look like after the trade deadline? Is Miles Turner still going to be an Indiana Pacer? Is Malcolm Brogdon? Is Caris LeVert? TJ Warren? What is this lineup going to look like at the midway point of the season? Because there's just a number of reasons. I mean, so that's a big thing there to look at as well. But I mean, even last year, they hovered around 500. Yeah, they finished under 500, but they were still right around there, and they still had all that turmoil, and they had a ton of injuries, trades. I mean, it was a lot of things going on. I think it's a little bit more consistency. They're gonna have a better relationship with the coach, which is gonna be a big deal. I mean, this is still a team that's got talented players. It's not like we're running out there a bunch of scrubs. I mean, we still have an all-star in Domantas Sabonis. Caris LeVert is just scratching the surface of what he could potentially be. If TJ Warren gets healthy, we all saw what he can look like in the NBA bubble and when he's healthy. So there's just, I mean, this roster has a ton of potential. It just needs to put it all together. And I think it can enough to, you know, make a run to the playoffs and get in at a little above 500, but it's going to take some time. And that's why I don't think they'll be way above 500, but I think they'll be right around, if not just a little bit above.
Yeah, I'm with that as well. So the next question, the next thing that kind of falls in line for the Pacers here is, will the Pacers be in the play-in tournament? And, you know, as much as I wanted to say that that's a cold take, they'll be firmly in. You kind of forget that being in the play-in, being out of the play-in tournament, but it's still in the playoffs means you're the sixth seed. Last year, the Pacers were six games out of that sixth seed. Now the Wizards and Celtics were the two teams in front of the Pacers in the East last season, but I think both the Celtics and Wizards will take a step back. Obviously, you mentioned what the Wizards lost. And then I think the Celtics, you know, what's crazy is not a lot has changed, and we'll get into that more in a minute. You know, as far as the NBA landscape is concerned, some people have moved around, but for the most part, it's relatively everybody running it back and not a whole lot is different. So with that said, the Celtics, I think, are going to take a step back too, because you lost a head, you know, a great head coach in Brad Stevens. Yes, he's still in the organization, but he's not coaching the team. So
was their point guard last year, I can't remember his name.
I couldn't tell you, but
he's a big name.
Is it Kemba Walker?
Yes. They lost Kemba Walker to the Knicks.
Right. Oh yeah. So yeah, he's gone. So, I mean, you know, it's, the Celtics take a step back just because, you know, yeah, especially, you know, losing Kemba Walker, Brad Stevens is no longer the head coach. So I think they're going to go backwards a little bit. So I think the Pacers will be kind of in that front, you know, they'll be in position to make the playoffs. They would be in the playoffs, I think, in the old format. But I think as far as the play-in tournament's concerned, you know, because I was looking at who's in front of them from last season that I could see them, you know, passing, you know, in the standings this season. I mean, obviously you've got the Bucks and the Nets who will be finals contenders. You've got the Heat, the Hawks, and the Knicks who will be strong again. And even though the 76ers right now have the most dysfunction, I don't see them falling, you know, so far that they end up in the play-in tournament. So I just think from that point, I mean, that's six teams right there. So the Pacers, by even that definition, would be, you know, in the play-in tournament. So as much as I would like to say, yeah, they'll be firmly in, they're going to be the sixth seed. Because even, you know, when I was thinking about it, because we're so used to doing the baseline of, hey, will they be the four seed? Will they be the five seed? That we're like, oh, hey, six is maybe underestimating them. And like, wait, actually, six is probably optimistic with how things look this season. So, yeah, I think they'll end up in the play-in tournament. I think they will end up making the actual playoffs, but I think they will have to fight for their lives a little bit at the front end of the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Six seed is probably being a little bit too optimistic. So I agree. I think this team is going to be in the play-in tournament. I think they're going to be more soundly in the play-in tournament rather than what they were last year. I think they'll get to play the winner of the big
the game they were in last year.
Yeah. So that will be in their favor this time around. Cause I think they will be a top eight team. So I don't think they're going to have to be battling to work their way into the playoffs from the play-in tournament. I think they'll be one of those top eight teams that will still have to play in it, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, I can see that about the seven seed, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be wrong. I would love for them to be better.
Oh yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? It all depends on health.
This is a different angle that we're taking, and I think maybe it'll be good for us ultimately in the long run, because typically every year
we were too high on them.
Yeah, we were like, oh yeah, four seed, like conference semifinals at least, like let's go, and then we'd always be disappointed. I think now this year we're ready to be pleasantly surprised. We're like, okay, you know what? We'll set the bar low so maybe you can clear it. And ultimately, where is that bar? This is where we're going to give our record prediction. For me, again, I think they're going to be above 500, and I think they will play a majority of the season with LeVert, with Warren. That's being optimistic. That's about as optimistic as I'll get. I think the Pacers are going to be 43-39, and they'll be seventh in the Eastern Conference. So, I mean, that is also judging that the bottom of the Eastern Conference will be above 500, because usually when you're talking about the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference, you're talking like, you know, in the low 40s, high 30s.
You're talking 39-43.
Right, exactly. So hopefully the East is a little bit stronger in that regard. But yeah, I have the Pacers at 43-39, seventh in the Eastern Conference come season's end.
Yeah, it's hard to predict a record. I still think seventh seed. Let me throw out a number. I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic. I'll say 44-38.
You're playing Price is Right with me right now. You're like, you know what? I'll get that number in there.
You bet 200. I say 201.
Exactly. I like it. I like the strategy there. Anything else to add on that, B Scott, before moving to the whole rest of the league?
No, like I said, this season is so dependent on health. The wild card of the coaching relationship, I don't think we have to worry about this year. Rick Carlisle is a very respected head coach all throughout the league. And he, you know, the players know, understand that as well. I think they were all very excited for him to get brought in. It's just, it's all about health.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, this is Indianapolis. We don't have the best of luck with health with our athletes in recent years. So
no, not at all. Well, now we're going to shift gears to the rest of the league. But before we do that, let's talk about our friends of the show.
Are you tired of your same old lunch hour of sitting and scrolling through your apps on your smartphone? Have you thought about playing a board game with your coworkers? Eat Lunch and Board Game is a podcast dedicated to telling you about board games that are great for lunchtime fun and some that are probably better saved for after work hours. I've been playing games at my office for over 4 years now where I have made new friends and business connections that have been very useful. Board games build bridges.
But now we are going to shift gears to the rest of the NBA. And what we're going to do at the beginning is kind of what we did with football, where we, you know, at the beginning of the year, we were like, hey, these teams will be, you know, at this win total, these teams will be at this win total. But instead of actually having a number of wins, we're like, hey, you know what? Why don't we just sort them into championship contenders, playoff teams, dark horses, which, you know, I want to specify means that we think they're good enough to get into the play-in, but we're not necessarily saying, hey, they're going to be in the top six to be safely in the actual field, you know, before getting eliminated potentially in that play-in tournament, and then keep building, which is basically, you know, you're rebuilding, and I don't see this team doing much of anything this season. So that's what we're going to separate the teams into, kind of a tier list. We're going to start first with keep building, and B. Scott, just like last time, we're just going to, you know, I'm going to name off who I've got, and you can, you know, kind of say who we differ on. So as far as keep building, I've got the Spurs, Kings, Thunder, Timberwolves. I had the Kings on here twice, so that's cool. Raptors, Cavs, Magic, Pistons, and Wizards.
Yeah, I agree with all those. All those are ones that I would say keep building. I don't have any differing until we start getting to dark horses. So
yeah, which is why
the keep building is the ones that are always right around there anyways. Right.
Exactly. And now I'm really kind of sweating it, because I'm going to end up missing a team because I counted 30 teams to make sure I had everyone, not realizing that I had the Kings on there twice. So we'll see if I end up with 31 or not. But the only team on there that, like, you know, I'm, you know, you're kind of surprised to see is the Spurs, but that's only because of Greg Popovich. You're like, oh, Greg Popovich team isn't going to be even in contention, but there's just no talent there. Going into dark horses, I've got the Grizzlies, Pelicans, Celtics, Hornets, Bulls, Pacers. Again, like I said, those are teams we think will be in the play-in tournament, but not in the actual playoffs themselves. So, you know, I think, you know, the Grizzlies seem to always be around there. It was kind of between the Grizzlies and Spurs, and because the Grizzlies were in it last year, and I know the Spurs were too, I feel a little bit more confident with what the Grizzlies have. The Pelicans, I know they lost Lonzo. They still have Zion. So I think that's enough to kind of will them into the dark horse phase, maybe into the play-in tournament. Celtics, mentioned them earlier, why I think they're going to be where they are, because of, you know, what they've lost. The Hornets, well, you know, they still have Gordon Hayward. They'll find themselves around the postseason. So I've got them there. The Pacers, like we mentioned, will most likely be in the play-in tournament. I'm not confident enough to say the Bulls will be in. I don't think they're going to be in the top six. It's kind of like the Pacers, where there's a lot of promise there, but we just don't know what they're going to do. But, you know, the Bulls did add Lonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan, which makes them really which is going to make them fun to watch. And they're going to be a fun team to keep an eye on, because they could end up being, you know, if somebody slips up top, I could see them being, you know, six seed and actually in. But right now, I think they're going to be kind of that fringe, you know, on that fringe level. They'll have to play their way in to the actual, you know, NBA playoffs themselves.
Yeah. So I have the Grizzlies, I have the Pelicans, the Pacers, the Hornets, and the Bulls. But I also have the Sixers and the Knicks in there as well. I need to see more out of the Knicks to know that they're consistent. You know, they weren't just a one-hit wonder.
True.
To be honest. And like you mentioned earlier, there's dysfunction within the Sixers. And I even said they don't have shooters. You know, it's just beat and bang type basketball, and that's going to be tough to consistently win with, especially now that we're going back to a normal like season. So
Speaking of
that's
that,
why I put them down in the dark horses. Do I think they could potentially get themselves into the sixth seed and not have to worry about the play-in? Yeah, I think the same thing about the Knicks as well, but they're one of those teams that they're fringe for me, that I wouldn't be surprised to see them having to play in the play-in tournament either.
did you realize that this is the third time in 2 years that we're doing some sort of NBA preview? Because I was
Oh,
thinking
we've
about
had,
that.
I feel like the NBA season, we've had like three NBA seasons in just like the last year and a half.
Right, because I was thinking about it this morning. I was like, we've had the when they came back for the bubble, so we kind of did a preview to kick that off because we had to kind of pick up, kind of, do a little recap preview type thing when that started up. We did, of course, the preview last year, last December, when they got back into the season, and then we have this one now. So we've done, I feel like we've done, like you said, a bunch of previews, in which we have done a ton of previews, in this short amount of time.
Yeah, like I feel like too many NBA seasons have been played here in the last year and a half.
They've just been constantly playing basketball. So moving on to playoff teams, I've got in this category the Jazz, Nuggets, Mavericks, Blazers, Warriors, Sixers, Knicks, Hawks. I don't think they're going to be teams that necessarily will contend for a finals berth. I've got the Jazz in there because they just can't get past the semis. I don't, if they can make the conference finals. I mean, we talk about these types of teams every season. It was the Sixers and still is the Sixers as far as, teams that, are in the playoffs consistently. They just can never seem to get over that hump, and the Jazz are there for me. I was sweating bullets a little bit because I don't think I even had the Jazz in the playoffs last year in our preview. And they were like the number one seed in the West. And so I was like, oh God, if they end up like winning it all, like what happens? And then they ended up, getting bounced in the semis by the Clippers. The Nuggets are another team that, just kind of seems to have a good core. They just don't have, that player to take them to the next level. I mean, they do. They have, Jokic, but they at the same time, just can't get, past a certain level of the playoffs. Dame and the Blazers seem to always be there, but never quite, at that championship contender level. I think the Warriors are going to have a bounce back season. I do think the Knicks are more than just a one hit wonder. I think they've got enough to keep that going. And of course, the Hawks, as much as I want to be like, oh, Nate McMillan and Trae Young were a fluke, like, I don't think they will be. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. So those are who I have as far as teams that will make the playoffs, but I just don't feel comfortable making them playoff contender or championship contenders.
Yeah, so for me, the playoff teams, I have the Jazz, Nuggets, Mavericks, Blazers, Warriors, Celtics, Clippers, and Hawks. I think the Celtics are going to be better off than you think. I think losing Kemba Walker may have been addition by subtraction. He was injured often, and I feel like this, they still have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And to me, that's still a lot better than what a lot of other teams in the East have. So I feel like that's going to really get them into even potentially the top five just on that alone. And also they brought back Al Horford. Al Horford is a really good player for them. I think that was a big sign for them. So that's going to help significantly there as well. See, the Clippers, I'm just not 100% sold on playoff P still, and Kawhi. I know they made it far last year, but I still feel like last year was not a normal season because it was a shortened season. They were coming off of the playoff bubble pretty quickly. So I'm looking now at things as kind of as going back to normalcy. So I need to feel a little bit more confident in the Clippers before I move them up into contender status.
Yeah, and that's fair. Yeah, moving on into contenders, I do have the Clippers there, just because I feel confident in a potential like Kawhi bounce back. I think he's gonna have a good solid season. Now, As far as the rest of the teams in the West, I do have the Suns there again. Like I said, a lot of these teams are just kind of running it back. You know, we didn't see, you know, a big shift like we saw a couple of years ago. So a lot of these picks are going to be very similar to what we saw last year. There's not really been that seismic shift or anybody new that you're like, oh, hey, this team's going to break in and really make something happen. I think the Suns will be back to their old form. You know, they've got a great core there with Paul, Ayton, Booker, all those guys. The Lakers, of course, they go out and they add Russell Westbrook after we were just like, oh yeah, small market teams, they're gonna, you know, start showing them that you know, you don't have to have a super team. Well, then you go add you know, Russell Westbrook, the Lakers, now they're gonna be really good.
Their starting five is all like all-stars.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous, but it's all like old aged all-stars outside of Anthony Davis.
Right. And speaking of essentially all-star teams, you're also going to throw in the Nets in the East. You've got the Bucks.
But they don't have Kyrie.
True. But see, here's the thing. Kyrie was going to probably spend most of the season injured anyway. So you're like, all right, Kyrie, maybe you'll actually be healthy now. You know, in whatever sense you want to say that. And then you have the Heat, who I think are going to be, you know, a championship contending team. They're kind of on that fringe level. They do add Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker. So they had some good pieces there. So yeah, those are my championship contending teams: Lakers, Suns, Clippers, Bucks, Nets, and the Heat.
So I am pretty much the exact same minus the Clippers. I have the Lakers just because, I mean, anybody that LeBron James plays for is going to be a contender. But I'm very interested in how chemistry works on that team, because Russell Westbrook, in order for him to be a good player, he has to have the ball in his hand. He has to. And so does LeBron. I mean, Anthony Davis is just a game changer anyways at his for himself. But it's going to be interesting to see how this team meshes together with guys that need to have the ball in their hand. Because there's only one ball. And we're not playing with multiples. So this isn't Space Jam. And we're talking the new version of Space Jam. The really crappy version.
I still haven't seen it. Just don't waste your time.
It was, yeah, what a waste. Don Cheadle's the villain. Don Cheadle. No, Don Cheadle's not a villain. Come on.
He's War Machine.
He is.
You can't do that to War Machine.
And then the Nets. I still like the Nets being a contender, even though I said they don't have Kyrie. They have KD. And James Harden. But that right there alone is better than Kyrie. I think not having Kyrie may be addition by subtraction as well. I've always said that about Kyrie. I think he's a locker room cancer. So I think they'll be better without him, to be honest. And not even knowing that he won't be around. I mean, he won't be around at all because of the vaccine mandate in New York. He can't even be around the team. So that is a major addition by subtraction, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. So there you have it. Those are where we have each of these teams. I do want to throw the disclaimer at is that I've looked up and down this list of teams, and I still can't figure out who I'm missing. So I'm sorry to that.
I've been trying to think about it too.
I counted 29.
Okay.
Do we want to do this? Do we want to do this?
Let's figure this out because it's gonna bug us.
Let's do this right now. All right. I was gonna be content with being like, hey, I mean, sorry to that, you know, person of that fan base that you know, we didn't cover. Because we got the Spurs, we've got the Thunder, we've got the Timberwolves, we've got the Kings, we've got the Raptors, we've got the Cavs, we've got the Magic. We've got the Pistons. We've got the Wizards. We've got the Grizzlies. We've got the Pelicans, Celtics, Hornets, Bulls, Pacers, Jazz, Nuggets, Mavericks, Blazers, Warriors, Sixers, Knicks, Hawks.
Rockets.
There we go. Well, you know, that's why.
It was a Texas team.
Yeah, because I was like,
they're in Keep Building. They're the headliner for Keep Building. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So at least we solved it. Cause I was like, where am I missing? And I was like, do I even want to say anything? Because obviously if I forgot about them, they're not going to be a big part of the show anyway. But I was like, dude, I want to know. But yes, Rockets are hard, hard keep building keep team. Building. All right, let's go ahead and shift gears. Take a look at our playoff preview. Where, you know, what teams, you know, obviously we just kind of outlined, you know, who we think are going to be in that situation, but we're going to now kind of put them in order. We're going to, you know, get into that, where we think they're going to end up as far as what teams, maybe if they were a fringe playoff team, do they make it? Do they not? Okay. For the East, I have, in order, the Bucks, Nets, Heat, Hawks, 76ers, Knicks, Pacers, and Bulls. Those are my top eight. Those would be the teams that would be in it if it were a normal playoff year, or if it were a, you know, the old playoff system. And then my two play-in teams are the Celtics. I do think that the Celtics do have, they, you know, as much as I kind of dogged on them, like you said, they do still have, you know, quite a bit of talent on that team. They're still going to be, you know, and that's still what matters. You know, yes, you know, coaching is good to have, but, you know, and not to say that they have some, you know, nobody coaching.
Coach that everybody really likes.
Right. So, I mean, I think they'll ultimately be in good shape. They'll be a playoff team. I just don't, like, by, you know, by definition, by getting the play-in tournament, I just don't think they'll, you know, they'll be the Celtics teams we're used to seeing.
They'll win the play-in tournament and knock the Pacers out.
Probably. And then I've got the Hornets in there just because some of the other teams, you know, didn't really just weren't too appealing to me. And the Hornets just always seem to be there. They're just kind of there. They're never above in that, like, oh, maybe they're going to contend. They're just kind of there. So the Hornets are going to be that 10th team in the East that winds up making the playoffs.
Yeah. So looking at, like, this, I have the Bucks, Nets, Heat, Hawks as my top four as well. I could see the Nets flip-flopping with the Heat. That 2, 3, and 4 is really, I feel like, up for grabs, whereas I feel like the Bucks have a strong, solid hold on the 1. At 5, I actually have the Celtics at 5. I don't have them having to worry about the play-in tournament. 6 is where I actually have the Bulls. 7, Pacers. 8, 76ers. 9, Knicks. 10, Hornets.
All righty. So over on the Western Conference side of things, in order, I've got the Lakers 1, the Suns 2, the Nuggets 3, just because they always seem to be in that upper echelon of the Western Conference, even though I don't think they'll do much in the playoffs. I've got the Clippers at 4, the Jazz at 5, the Warriors at 6, the Blazers at 7, the Mavericks at 8. I think those teams are solidly in. And then I do have the Pelicans at 9, Grizzlies at 10 in that play-in tournament. They'll all fight to get into the postseason itself. Again, you know, like I said, I think Pelicans with Zion, they're going to be in there, and the Grizzlies are kind of the Hornets of the Western Conference in the sense that they're just kind of always there. They never seem to get, you know, back into where they were, you know, the years that they were like knocking off the 1 seed and they're that scrappy Grizzlies teams. Now they're just kind of meh, they're there.
Is there a team that probably really should be in the East?
Yeah, true. That's a good point. They could probably be a solid, you know, 6 in the East.
Yeah. So for me, Lakers 1, Suns 2, I have Jazz at 3, Nuggets at 4, Warriors at 5, Clippers at 6, Blazers 7, Mavericks 8, Pelicans 9, Grizzlies 10. I think, you know, I'm not sleeping on the Jazz this year like you did last year, and you're still doing it. I mean, they were the 1 seed for a reason.
But they just – they're so underwhelming when it actually matters, though. Like, they –
that we're talking seeding right now.
That's true. They're going to have a good regular season. They're not going to do anything in the postseason, but no. They're going to have a good regular season.
Exactly. That's what you got to look at. You're thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to rate them pretty highly because, you know, they don't do well in the postseason. They do well in the regular season.
Yeah. I probably should have had them 3, Nuggets 4, and then Clippers 5, even though I had Clippers as a championship contender. Like, have them as 5 seed and have the Jazz be like the 3 because they're going to lose anyway.
And don't sleep on the Warriors. If these guys are healthy, this is still a team that won a lot of championships with or without Kevin Durant.
True.
So this is it's going to be a good team. But
oh yeah.
But yeah, don't sleep on the Jazz in the regular season. Come on.
Yeah, in the regular season, that was probably a mistake to not have them ranked higher.
Are we honestly going to really pick the Lakers? I mean, picking the Lakers one is just kind of an easy thing. But when you think about it, I mean, look, the Lakers were like, what, the 4 seed last year? Like,
no, they were in the play-in tournament last year. They got beat by the Jazz. They were because the Jazz were the 2 seed.
They're so old. They rest their guys so much.
We can't play so a full much. Season,
I mean,
guys.
LeBron James can't play. He played a half a season last year and still had to sit out half the season because he was so tired. What is he going to do this year with it being a full season? I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lakers have to be in the play-in tournament again just because they think if we're going to rest our guys and it's going to really help in the playoff push. Yeah, then you get beaten up one game playing and then whoops.
Well, I mean,
Suns are all of a sudden in the finals.
Whoever made the play-in tournament should be fired. I mean, that's just, you know.
No. LeBron loved the play-in tournament.
I know.
Until he had to play in the play-in tournament. And then it was the worst thing ever.
He's like, actually, this sucks. I hate playing in the play-in tournament.
And then he lost in it.
No, they won because they were the 7 and 8, and they had to play the Warriors, and I think the Warriors got beat by the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies were the 8 seed last year, I think.
Yeah, and then they lost to the Suns. They lost to the Jazz.
They lost to the Jazz. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of the playoffs, let's go ahead. We'll go. First round, I'll do my first round, then you do your first round. B. Scott will go back and forth that way on how we think the playoffs will shake out. So for me in the East, it is going to be the Bucks against the Bulls, the Nets against the Pacers, the Heat against the Knicks, and the Hawks against the 76ers. And I actually have all chalk in the Eastern Conference first round. I mean, Bucks over Bulls. I think that's going to be a fun series. I think that's going to go maybe, either a good 5, not like, because obviously there's different kinds of, like you can look really good and get swept. I mean, we've seen the Pacers do it. And you can play just well enough, win 2 games, and it goes 6. So there's different types of ways you can have that happen. So I think the Bulls will play the Bucks well. I just think the Bucks will ultimately win. Like I said, I think it'll be kind of that like healthy 5-game type situation. The Nets against the Pacers, again, the Nets just have so much firepower. The Pacers don't have as much, or at least not on the same kind of level. So I think the Nets win there. The Heat against the Knicks, as much as I would want to see the Knicks win this series, I just don't think they do. The Heat are just too good of a team. And the Knicks, again, I'll predict that you're going to be in the playoffs again and be, a good team again, but I don't feel comfortable saying you're going to make it past the first round, especially since last year they weren't they? Yeah, they were the 4 seed playing the Hawks and still, obviously it's 4-5, so it's really close, but still. And then you have the Hawks and 76ers. I think the Sixers get bounced. Just too much dysfunction. It's not going to translate into the postseason. I know you have 82 games to get that whole thing figured out. It probably will get figured out at the same time. They still struggle when it comes to the postseason. I think I have a lot more faith in what the Hawks can do. So they will make it past the first round. Then over in the West, it's going to be the Lakers against the Mavericks, the Suns against the Blazers, the Nuggets against the Warriors, and the Clippers against the Jazz. I do have one upset here. It's not Lakers and Mavericks. I think the Lakers win that series over the Mavs. The Suns do beat the Blazers, and I think that's going to be a fun series. That's a series where you could potentially see an upset. It's so weird that like the Blazers, even with Dame, even with CJ McCollum, are always like at the bottom of the West. And this is not a Western conference that is like, I mean, it's got some good teams, but I think that it's the Blazers are good enough to like be a 6 seed, be a 5 seed. And just every year it's like they're 7th, which is just weird to me. But I do think the Suns win that series. The Suns will be on a mission this year. And then I do – the upset I have is the Warriors over the Nuggets. Like you said, they're a really talented team. They're going to have Klay back. They've got Steph. You know, Steph will be healthy. They're going to beat the Nuggets, another team that just can't get it done, in the postseason. And speaking of teams that can't get it done in the postseason, the Jazz get bounced by the Clippers. I mean, I guess technically those are two teams that haven't been able to get it done, although the Clippers did make the Western Conference Finals last year. So I think the Clippers end up winning and advancing to the semifinals.
All right. So for me, I have always done this. I'm just going to say who I think is advancing because, yeah, that's just what I do. All right.
Hey, do what you got to do, B. Scott. You
just,
do you.
I do with me. It's just who I am. In the East, in the first round, I am going chalk to top four, just like you did as well. The Bucks, Nets, Heat, and Hawks are all advancing. I think if there's anybody that could potentially, I mean, I'm looking at like whoever the Pacers play, like I said, if the Pacers are healthy, they could be a spoiler come the playoffs. But based off of what we know right now, I have to go to the top four within the East. And I got to do the same thing within the West as well, which I'll say those again when we get there. Oh yeah. You already said yours. So yeah. For me, I got the Lakers, I have the Suns, the Warriors, and the Jazz. My top four are all advancing as well over there. The Jazz get it done just in the first round.
I was going to say, don't get too crazy.
Cocky. Don't get too cocky here. But don't sleep on the Warriors. This is, like I said, this is still a championship caliber team. Again, this is one of those teams. Health is going to be a big issue as well. If they can stay healthy, then yeah. But right now, based on what we know right now, I'm going Lakers, Suns, Warriors, Jazz. Or Lakers, Suns, Jazz, Warriors. That's what I had in the order.
All righty. So conference semifinals. My conference semis were the Bucks against the Hawks, the Nets against the Heat. Conference semifinals over in the Eastern Conference. I've got the Bucks over the Hawks. The Bucks, I know the Hawks had a 2-0 series lead last year against the Hawks, and then the Bucks took the next four. I think the Bucks will be a little bit more commanding. The Bucks are going to be strong again this year. That is kind of obvious, doesn't need to really be said, but it's just a battle of two good teams. I think the Bucks are just better. Nets against the Heat. It's one of those things where like I wanted to pick the Heat here, but I was also like, this roster, even without Kyrie, you still have KD, you still have James Harden, you still have Blake Griffin if he can be healthy. That's probably in the same boat as Kyrie, to be honest, as far as players that probably won't make a whole lot of time. But just so many talented players on that Nets team, and I just can't see it not resulting in an Eastern Conference Finals for 2 years in a row with how much talent they have. So I do have the Nets winning that one. So that aligns a Eastern Conference Finals of Bucks and Nets. The West, I do have the Lakers over the Clippers. I just have more faith in what the Lakers are able to do. The Lakers have a little bit more firepower. They're more reliable. Their guys are more reliable in the postseason than the Clippers, with Kawhi and Paul George. So I've got the Lakers advancing there. And then as much as I wanted last year to see the Suns win, because I kind of were like, oh, they have Chris Paul and threw them in the playoffs above, last season. And kind of lucked into that pick being right of them being, good and in the playoffs. I do have them getting bounced by the Warriors. I think the Warriors are going to be on a mission. They're hungry, man. I mean, this is a team that was used to being in the finals every single year. And now they're like, man, we, missed the postseason the last 2 years. I mean, yes, you have the play-in tournament. That's technically the playoffs, but I mean, it doesn't feel like that. It's kind of like making the wild card game in baseball. If you lose, you're like, well, we played one, we're done. Like, we don't really feel like we did anything, in the postseason. Not something you can, you're not wearing that shirt out in public that like, oh, hey, we made the playoffs. Like, you're not doing that. So the Warriors, I think, are hungry to get to that level that they're used to being at. And so I have the Warriors winning that one, setting up a Western Conference Finals of the Lakers and Warriors.
All right, so in the East, I too have the Bucks and the Nets both advancing. I think we're on a collision course for honestly the two best teams in the East. It's hard to pick any way or other around it, unfortunately. In the West, however, I do have an upset. Ooh. I have the 4-seed Warriors over the 1-seed Los Angeles Lakers.
I like
and
it.
I have the 2-seed Suns over the 3-seed Utah Jazz. So I am setting up an Eastern Conference Finals of Bucks and Nets and a Western Conference Finals of Warriors and Suns.
You're daring to do what I couldn't be, Scott, and that's what I love about you.
I think I just feel like Steph Curry and company have LeBron James's number.
Except for last year when they didn't, though. In the
Last year they weren't. I know.
So
it wasn't the same Warriors.
I'm being a jerk. All right, conference finals for the East. I do have the Bucks beating the Nets here. I just think ultimately it's weird because like the as much firepower as the Nets have. And I know that you could then use this to say like, well, hey, Craig, if you thought they'd get this far, then why are you all of a sudden saying these are going to be the issues in the finals? Well, I'm dying. Okay, that's one of the things that's happening. I just don't – with as much firepower as the Nets have, they also have – you know, a lot of that firepower is guys that have – struggled in the postseason when they've gotten to a certain point. James Harden, Kevin Durant, and not more health than anything else. And then you know if Kyrie's not there, you know who do they turn to? If those two guys can't seem to get it done, because this will be the point where it's like, hey, you know, this is it. This is our season. We're not in the regular season. We're not in the opening rounds against the not as good teams. I think the Bucks match the Nets really well. And so I think the Bucks will win over the Nets in the Eastern Conference. In the West, I did not, you know, do what B. Scott was so courageous to do. I have the Lakers over the Warriors. It'll be an epic battle between LeBron and Steph. And I just think, you know, the Lakers just have a little bit more on their roster, and albeit, you know, old talent, old ammunition in their arsenal. I think they're going to ultimately win. It's going to be a great series. That series probably goes 7 games, and it's going to be an epic battle. But I just see the Lakers coming out on top, and that sets up an NBA Finals of the Lakers and the Bucks.
So for me, I'm going to go with the Nets over the Bucks. It's a close one, though. I really want to pick the Bucks, but when you have James Harden and Kevin Durant, it's tough.
Yeah.
Now, based on what we know now, I have to do that. Any type of injury, the Nets are not very deep. I will say that. Whereas the Bucks have depth. No, screw it. I'm going with the Bucks. I want to go with the Bucks. Why not?
Hey, you do you, B. Scott. We're telling you. Just do your thing.
I got the Bucks over the Nets in the East. It's a toss-up, though. That's going to be a really good series. I could go 7, to be honest. In the West, I'm going to go with the Warriors over the Suns. The Suns did lose a key piece off the bench in Torrey Craig, who, by the way, signed with the Indiana Pacers. I didn't feel like the Suns were that deep to begin with. So losing a key piece like that is going to hurt. And like you said, the Warriors are hungry. They have a lot to prove. They've had a rough past couple of years. Ever since losing to the Raptors in the finals, it's been a rough go of things for the Warriors. And I think they right the ship and they get back to the top where they belong in the West as far as the playoffs go. So that's setting up a playoffs finals of the Bucks and the Warriors. That could be a fun one.
Oh, yeah. I'm let's put it this way. I'm more excited about your NBA finals than I am necessarily about mine. Mine would still be a fun one. It'd still be a 6-7 game series, Lakers and Bucks. I do go with the Lakers over the Bucks. It's kind of one of those weird things where like I like I said, that one's a toss up. Again, I think the Lakers are a little bit deeper than what the Bucks have, as far as, you know, star power. We know that what is what ultimately wins. I mean, even though, you know, last year was the small market teams, but I think the Lakers are kind of on a mission. They were bounced in the first round. LeBron was bounced in the first round for the first time, you know, in his career. And I see them getting back to the NBA Finals and winning over the Bucks. I just don't. I'm never confident enough to pick like back-to-back winners unless like it's the, you know, the years where we dealt with Warriors and Cavs every year. So I don't think it's going to be a repeat, and just to, you know, make it, you know, a little bit different than what maybe some of the experts have, you know, who I'm sure a lot of them are picking the Bucks to repeat. I'm going to have the Lakers, which is weird to think of, like, hey, the Lakers might, you know, be not everyone's pick with as much talent as they have, but I'm going Lakers over Bucks. The Lakers are going to win your 2022 NBA Finals.
Yeah, I love my NBA Finals now that I think about it. And this is a tough one to pick. This is going to go seven. I know it's going to go seven. I'm going Warriors, though.
I like it.
I think the Warrior, just the shooting ability of Klay and Steph could be a little bit too much for Giannis to overcome, to be honest. And yeah.
All right. Is that, I mean,
that's my final answer.
That's your final answer.
I'm not phoning a friend.
I like it. I like it. And I mean, I could definitely see that happening. Like I said, Steph and Klay are going to be hungry to get back. Yeah, I like it. I like the Warriors pick. So I've got the Lakers. B. Scott has the Warriors. We'll check back in on that, obviously, throughout the season. Real quick, do we want to do off-the-cuff MVP selection?
James Harden.
Devin Booker.
I like it.
Yeah, all right. So
there we have the same, it. It's the same character, so.
Yeah, true. I was going to say Steph, but to like snake your, you know, the storyline that you were painting, but I was like, yeah, you know what? Devin Booker sounds like a good candidate. So that's what I'm going with. But that will do it for this week's edition of the Crash Course Podcast. Thank you guys all for listening. Remember, you can you can follow us on Twitter. You can like us on Twitter too if you want, at 3C Media Sports. You can go like us on Facebook, Crash Course Podcast. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel, 3C Media. Also, go follow us, 3C Media, on TikTok. Remember, you can watch us live every week at twitch.tv/CraigCrash on Mondays. The podcast itself releases on YouTube and Anchor and Spotify and all that stuff every week. On Tuesdays, and remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts can be heard. You can hear the Crash Course Podcast. You can also find me at Crash Course FM. B. Scott, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Brandon_Scott87.
Next week, we will be talking about the World Series. We're going to be giving a little bit of a preview of that. Right now, I'm a little sad and a little happy at the same time because I picked the under on three runs in the first three innings. Kyle Schwarber hits a grand slam to blow the game wide open. 6-0 Red Sox. So while I'm sad I didn't get the pick right, I am happy for my boy Schwarbs. So, you know, that's always good. I'd love to see the Red Sox in the World Series because we don't want to see the Astros win it. So we'll see what happens. Also, the Braves up 2-0. That's an interesting development. I would love a Red Sox-Braves World Series, but let's see if that'll be the case. You'll find out next week on the Crash Course Podcast. We're going to give a little preview of that and also talk some football as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. But until then, have a good week, everybody.